Amen. Now may the Lord bless you this morning as we seek to follow Him, to follow in His glorious train. We might go forth to war, not in with flesh and blood, but in against spirit and principalities and powers and wickedness in dark places. We might fight sin wherever it is. Fight it in our own lives. That we would look at it like we're going forth to war instead of just a game to be played. We're not in a playground. We're in a battlefield. We're not on safe territory. We're behind the enemy lines. Christ has not called us just to find a better way. Christ has called us out of this world to stand for Him and His kingdom and His world. May He grant grace and help us understand those things and put them to real practice in our lives. Father, we come before You this morning, Lord. We pray that Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we would live out Your kingdom while here, Father. Lord, give us those things we need. Help us to forgive those who don't understand, those who would trespass against us. Lord, we pray, Father, that You would bless Your word. Father, that You would give us wisdom as we open it this morning, Father. Again, we just want to thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us, God. We just ask again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." I'm going to stop right there. We will continue, Lord willing, here in just a minute. And I want to just interject a little something here. about a very false teaching that is very prominent right now. It's called the Way of the Master. It's promoted by a man in California, Ray Comfort, and he's got some movie star that they go around and they supposedly lead people to Christ. And they point to this very argument of, or this very testimony that Jesus gave to this young man. The purpose of their, or what they teach, is that God gave His commandments as cannons. They're bullets to shoot at men to show them that they cannot stand up to God, that they cannot live the way God wants and intends them to live. And they present their gospel message by saying things like, "Have you ever lied?" Or they will start out by asking if you're a good person. Most people will say, "Yes, I'm a good person." And then they'll go on to say, "Well, let's just see if you're a good person." And so they ask someone if they've ever lied. Well, most everyone would say, "Yes, I have lied." And then they say, "Well, okay. Have you ever stolen anything? Even the smallest thing?" And they say, "Well, yes, most people confess that they have stolen something in their life." And they say, "Well, have you ever looked on a woman and lusted after her?" And most people will confess, "Yes, I've looked upon a woman and lusted after her." And they will ask, "Have you ever been so angry that you just hated someone?" And most people will say, "Yes, that they have hated someone." And then they present that, "Well, let's just see if you're a good person. By your own mouth, you've just confessed that you're a liar, a thief, an adulteress, and a murderer, according to what the Bible teaches. Do you still think you're a good person, being all of those things?" And that's to bring this conviction to their minds that, well, they're not as good as they thought they were, and that they have failed God, and they've used God's words to shoot you down. The cannons of the gospel, they say. And they use the law to point people that this is the method that Jesus used to show people that they are no good at all, and that they are not capable of keeping God's word. And so then they go on to preach the same old tired and worthless gospel that this world has accepted as the gospel of Christ. That you're just a sinner and you need God's grace. You can't live up to God and what His standard is. And so you have to accept Jesus as your Savior, and that's the only way to heaven. The premise being is that the gospel, that the law and the prophets were not given for instruction, but to show us that we could not do what God intended us to do. That the law's purpose as a schoolmaster was to prove to us that we couldn't learn, as opposed to being a schoolmaster to teach us how to be reconciled and restored to God. And so we're laying here in this puddle of blood that we've just been slain with. And instead of seeing any hope of being reconciled to God, our only hope now is that God will just forgive us and pour all of His judgment on Christ. Instead of Christ coming to deliver us from the power of sin and Satan and death, and to set us free so that we could turn from our sins, which is what repentance is, and be restored and reconciled back to God, we'll just stay here in them and be saved and be on our way to heaven. The problem is that in each of these cases, they still allow people to swear oaths, which Jesus and His kingdom forbids. They still allow people to covet and live however they like, which Jesus and His kingdom forbids. They still allow someone who's living in a divorced and remarried condition to still live in that condition, which Jesus' kingdom strictly forbids. They can still go to war and kill their enemies and now be accepted because they've been shot down by the canon of the law. And they're still living in all of these sins in a different form. They've not entered into the kingdom of God. They've not repented. They've just been shot. And now they're trusting that all of these things are just wiped away when they're still living in them. It is an error. It is a wicked and cruel error that leaves men outside of the kingdom of God, hoping and pretending that they've been saved because Jesus died for them. That's not the reason Jesus came into this world. Jesus came into this world not willing that men would perish, but that all would come to repentance, to be restored or reconciled back to God. They leave men outside of the kingdom of God. They leave men still in adultery, still in the military, all the way through. They've talked about these commandments, and yet they've overlooked the kingdom of God. Now I want to show you the purpose of why Jesus taught this teaching. It wasn't just to leave you slain by these commandments. He didn't teach this young man who said he had never broken them. Jesus didn't refute him. Many of the children here may have never broken any of these, or all of them. They've been taught different. They may have never, when they get older, by the time they get old enough to make a rational decision, They may have chosen to do what's right. In most of these instances, this man came running up to Jesus. Why do you run? We run when there's a sense of urgency. This man came running up to Jesus like he was going to get away. There was a sense of urgency about him. There was some real concern. And so he came running to Jesus. He finally found this one that he had heard about. And he wasn't going to let him get away. We don't just try Jesus to see if he's a better way. We don't just throw Jesus out there. Well, give Jesus a try. Nothing else has worked. If that's your attitude, you just well forget it right now. This man saw the urgency that even though he had been a good man, he knew that he needed something. There was a sense of urgency about him that he came running and he fell down on his knees at the feet of Jesus. He believed that this man was the Son of God. He believed that this man, that no doubt most of the world thought was crazy, had something to offer for this rich young ruler. Can you imagine someone today walking down the street claiming that they're God, teaching things that are different than everyone else's teaching, teaching a higher way of life and a higher morals and a higher way of living than anyone else has ever taught, reproving this world for its sin, shining light in dark places that had always been covered up before. And the owner of one of the major computer companies, a very wealthy man, heard about this man that's speaking these things. The whole world thinks he's just some nut walking down the street or standing on a corner teaching things that none of them want to hear, reproving them for things that they're doing. And a man that is now a wealthy man and his life is before him hears about this man, jumps in his jet and flies to where that man is and starts looking for him. And when he sees him, he runs up to him and he falls down on his face and says, "Lord, you have something that I don't have. And I want it." What do you think the world would think of that man? They think he's gone crazy talking to that nut. They think he's lost his mind. He's got everything in the world. He doesn't need anything. and he begins talking to him about the way he's living. And he tells him that I'm a good man. And I haven't offended anyone. And I've honored my parents. And I'm an honest man. And what I've earned honestly. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Accept me into your heart, and you'll be saved. Just receive me into your heart and you'll be saved. You'll be born again and everything will be wonderful. If you would just admit that you're just a sinner, just admit it, you're a sinner. And as soon as you admit it, then you can humble yourself and ask me into your heart and I will save you. Just go to the altar there and say this prayer. And if you don't know what to pray, here, I'll help you. That's not what Jesus said. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Right there's the gospel message. How do you lead someone to the Lord? How do you show someone to God? The evangelicals tell us you use the commandments and you kill them. And when there's nothing else left, they look up and just ask Jesus to take it all away. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus would be counted a heretic today. Jesus would not be allowed to preach in 99.9% of the pulpits today because his message would be considered a false message. Because Jesus never said one word about grace here. He never told the man he loved him. The Bible says he loved him and he told him the truth. He told him, you're lacking something. That's how he showed him he loved him. Sell whatsoever you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. What was it that kept this man out of heaven? What was it that was separating this man from God? Jesus didn't say, forget about obeying. No. He said, there's one thing you're not obeying. What Jesus did with this, and the way he worded it, and the way he used the commandments, was to go down through and find and look at this man's life until he hit the one thing that this man was living for. This man was willing to do all of the commandments. James says in chapter 2, verse 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. What does he mean by that? Is he trying to prove again to us that there's one of these that are going to get you and they'll kill you? And so that you cannot say anything, and you'll have to just ask me to cover it all up. No. He's saying that people will go to any extreme they can to keep all of the laws they can, and they don't bother them. There's a lot of religious people that go to far extreme to avoid the one point in their life that they will not give up. They will not give up. Their will not give up. That keeps them the king of their own life. That separates them from which side of the cross they're on. That keeps them from following Christ. You can't just try Jesus on like a new jacket. You can't put him on like a new pair of pants and see if they fit. You can't. We've talked with a man on the street for 2 months trying to talk to him, and it finally came out the other night. He said, you know, if I could just change your mind on 2 points, I'd join you immediately. Well, guess what? One of them's on adultery. I don't remember what he said the other one was. Going to war, fighting in war. Oh, okay, we'll change. Just so you can be a part of us. Can you imagine the man saying, well, Jesus, I'll follow you if you'll just forget this one point you're asking of me. Okay, I'll follow you. Just forget this little thing about selling everything I have and following you. Just forget this one little point of giving away what I have to the poor. And I'll follow you. Right there's the cross. The cross is what it takes for you to lay down your will to God. The cross has one purpose, and that is to kill the man that gets on it. That's it. It has one purpose. And that is to kill you. Boy, isn't that a wonderful message? Hey, everybody. Got something for you. Guess what? It's going to kill you. Kind of thins the line out on the welfare of people just wanting something, doesn't it? In India, they're so superstitious. Doesn't matter who you are. If you claim to be a holy man, people will line up in the streets to come just ask you to bless them. The pastors there will go all over to receive a blessing from some evangelist. And I ask them what they mean when they want a blessing. Well, they all want riches and health and a good life, God to bless their ministry and everyone to think well of them. And I said, well, how many of you want really, really, really want Jesus' blessings? And all their hands went up. And I said, okay. Are you sure you want Jesus' blessings? They said, yes, we want His blessings. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6, I said. Blessed are you that are poor. And then I said, may Jesus cause each one of you to live in poverty. How many of you want more blessings from Jesus? May Jesus cause everyone to hold your name up as evil and that they will reject you as a false prophet. May every one of your congregation think that you're a false prophet and they'll cast your name out as evil. How many of you want more blessings from Jesus? Those are Jesus' blessings. Blessed are you that mourn. May God cause your life to be a life of sorrow and mourning. You want Jesus' blessings? That's what He said they were. Jesus is teaching a whole different kingdom than what this world is teaching. Jesus is offering a cross. And the purpose of that cross is to kill you, not to enhance your life. purpose of that cross is to put your old man and old life to death. How do you try on death to see whether you like it or not? How do you just try that on to see if you're going to like it for a while or not? You don't. Its purpose is to kill you. It's not something just to hang around your neck and look pretty and say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." Whenever Jesus was talking about a cross, he wasn't talking about some little gold or silver image or idol. He was talking about an old, wooden, rough piece of wood. What happens when you get a hold of an old rough piece of wood? You get splinters all over you, don't you? You get splinters in your hand when you're handling an old rough piece of wood. Now imagine laying naked on it and all those splinters hitting your back. Now imagine someone grabbing your hands and driving a nail through them. And then your feet. And then the blood start running all over that thing. It's not a pretty thing, is it? Old sticky blood. Ugly. It hurts. And it's trying to kill you as fast as it can. That's its purpose. Jesus, whenever he presented the message, laid the cross in front of the man's eyes. Because he knew that what it was that was separating that man from him. He knew the one stepping stone that the man would not take the step of faith to climb up on. Or the one stepping stone that it would require the man to step up on. So that the man could take up his cross and follow Jesus. We're not looking to gain a big crowd. We're looking for men and women and young people who are willing to face that cross, take it up, and follow. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. You see, the man has to be prepared to hear the gospel. The gospel is the cross. And until you use the law to show which law or which area that a man is separated from God, you can't get to that point. Whenever someone comes and wants to follow Jesus, we began to explain the teachings of Jesus. Not to show them how bad they are, but to show them what God expects of His followers. So that we can learn what God wants from me. Many people say, Lord, I want to know what Your will is. And then He shows it to them. And they think, anything but that. Lord, I'll do anything but this. There's one little area in my life that I don't want You to touch. Leave it alone. Nobody else sees it. Leave it alone. Jesus came to expose that area and say, that's what I want. Whenever He talked about the pearl of great price or the field that had the pearl in it, it wasn't a generalization of all of your money to buy those things. The point is that Jesus wants the one thing that is separating you from God. The one point in your life that you won't trust God with. And it may be something way up here as far as morality goes. It may be a high and lofty thing. But if you won't lay it down, it's separating you from God. And that's the only thing God wants from you. Nothing else matters. You can put on all the kind of religious show you want to. But if you won't lay that down, doesn't matter at all. This man was his money. Lord, I'll do any of these other things. I'll keep all these commandments diligently. Just don't touch my money. Some of you don't even care about money. There may be still one little thing in your heart. But you say, Lord, don't touch that. You can't have that. You can't have it. Our purpose is to bring men to the cross and challenge and exhort them to face it and take up their cross and follow Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the gospel that Jesus taught. All I want is everything. All Jesus wants is everything in your life. You can't try Him on that way. You can't even get into the fitting room. To know who He is. Until you give up that point. come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved. For he had great possessions. He just thought he had great possessions. But he chose them above the cross. You may have great ambitions, but if you choose them above the cross, you've missed it. Heaven and earth will pass away, and everything in it, all a man's dreams and all a man's ambitions, will come to nothing . Jesus watched the man walk away from him, and he let him go. He let him go. I don't find anywhere where he went chasing after him and said, I'll make an exception for you. I don't find anywhere where he went chasing after him and said, you poor man, I don't want you to be lost. There's only one way to escape damnation and the judgment that's coming on this world, and that way is the cross of Christ. Not just the one he died on, but the one he's given you. The one he's laying in your way. You can jump over it and think you're being pretty smart. You can walk around it. You can get a shovel and dig under it. You can get a saw and cut it in half and walk right between it. And think you've outsmarted God. But it's that cross that's going to get you into the next life. And if you don't take it up, whatever it costs you, you've missed the gospel. You've missed the only lifeboat that's coming your way. Count it a merciful thing if you see your cross. Because in a few days, if you don't take it up, it'll be gone. And you won't even care anymore. You may be right able to sit right in church for the rest of your life and never think about it or never worry about it again. The churches are full of people like that who have simply let the cross pass. They got around it now they're sitting in their own peace and comfort. Just being a good Christian. But the light went out, and the darkness went out. They don't struggle anymore. They've got involved in their business or whatever it is, and now they don't even think about it anymore. They went blind. They missed grace and the door of grace because it came in the form of an old bloody, rough cross. And they close their eyes and they believe whatever they want to believe from now on. We look at people who've left here and gone out into the world right back into the same stuff they said they hated whenever they were here among us. We've watched young people grow up and go right out into the world and do things that they never dreamed that they would do. And why do they do that? Because they've rejected the cross. And they went blind. They went blind. They don't even know where they're at anymore. You try to tell them they're lost. They don't know what you mean. They don't feel lost. I don't know how many people I've heard, well, if I ever fell away, I know that the Lord wouldn't let me have a night's sleep until I returned back to Him. You miss the cross, you'll probably never miss another night's sleep. And you'll sit in church saying just exactly what I just said they would say. I've heard them, I've watched them all my life. And they'll sit right there in church and never be bothered about a thing. Living in adultery, unforgiveness, swearing oaths, supporting wars. Lusting and coveting after the newest car that's come out. I've heard old women discussing about the Miss USA pageant right in church, saying wish they would have won, some other little harlot would have won instead of the rest of them. And then stand up and testify and saying if I ever fell into sin, God would convict me. He won't. If you deny that cross, you're blind. And only God's grace to give you another opportunity to see it and take it up is your only hope. And you don't even know it. Jesus is a life or death decision. Your life or your death. Your life for His. That's the way of the Master. That's the way of the Master. He wants one thing from you. And that's everything. Don't try to give Him 99% saying He'll overlook the last one. Because that's all He wants, is the last one. May the Lord add His blessings to His glorious gospel. Jesus' name. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your mercy. Help us, Lord, I pray, Father, to understand, to take up our cross, to follow Jesus. We'd lay down our lives and take up Yours. In Jesus' name, amen.